Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
So as Aaron said, I'm going to just give you a sort of snapshot of where we are in terms of implementing the Diamond Report. I think, as I've said before, for some of you who've heard me speak about this, once upon a time, Universities UK sort of did reports, and you know, we got a lot of coverage in the press, etc., and then it would get sort of quietly forgotten or put on a shelf. And I think we see this report as a very different sort of report, whereby we set out an agenda and we set out an approach, and we look at ways in which we can work with the sector to implement it and make the findings have an impact. Just to quickly refresh as to why we did the work, as Aaron said, we published it just over a year ago. And part of that was to do with the sort of pressures on public finances. Universities seen very much within the context of broader pressures across the public sector, even though they may not, you know, see themselves as part of the public sector. Often those same pressures are translated and reflected in terms of the way people think about universities. I think we, in many ways, higher education had a good funding settlement, particularly with the protection of the science ring fence. But nonetheless, within that, within the context of that settlement, there was significant downward pressure required on costs, and also significant cuts to capital funding. Higher education funding reforms, as we know, we've seen a significant shift away from public funding to student contributions for the cost of their tuition. And I think with that comes a sort of new funding dynamic, but as well it comes increased expectations from students in terms of providing value for money, where once upon a time there might have been more sort of focus on public accountability concerns. So again, it's another dynamic that adds to the sort of context for efficiency. And also, again, I always make this point, but I think there's often the sort of prevailing perceptions of higher education sector as being inefficient. I mean, I don't agree with that, and I think there's many people in the sector that know that's not necessarily the case. But nonetheless, there is that perception there, and we have to recognise that is there, and we have to think about how we present ourselves as a sector and the kind of things we do to address some of that. I'll come on to talk a little bit about the Diamond Report, and the implementation. But I think it's important to remember that efficiency in the higher education sort of didn't start with the Diamond Report. I think we recognised when we pulled the report together that actually the sector's been quite good at this. Reflecting on my last point, I think the sector probably hasn't been as good at telling the story. But we've seen significant progress. And on the second bullet point there are a number of points that were flagged in the Diamond Report. We saw against efficiency savings that were required as part of the spending review, the sector performed and exceeded the requirements that were placed upon it. We obviously have the Wacom review, which looked at the efficiency in the way in which research is conducted and funded, and we're seeing evidence of a downward pressure on indirect costs. It's quite early days, but we're seeing downward pressure on the indirect costs of research, and there's quite good evidence to support that. Sector obviously responding to competitive pressures in the system and the reforms that we're seeing to teaching funding. One of the things that came up very strongly in the Diamond Report was that the sector were very keenly feeling those changes and thinking about ways in which they needed to think about how they ran things, how they could possibly do things differently. And it wasn't just about finding cost savings, it was also about how they're refocusing and thinking about what they do in a clearer and more strategic way. And related to that, and as you've heard from this morning, looking at your agenda, unfortunately I wasn't able to join you, but there are numerous and diverse initiatives that are in place across the sector, looking at ways of finding savings and doing things differently and effectively doing things better that relate to collaboration, shared services, the focus of this conference, process improvement and outsourcing. So, and in many cases that was not just about the back office. We've seen a number of examples where universities are actually working together, for example, to share teaching infrastructure. And also we've seen quite significant pension reform, and the sector's been very good at controlling pay costs. I think the data shows that although the sort of perception is that the sector hasn't done a particularly good job in this area, actually in comparison to other parts of the public sector and private sector, the sector's done quite well in terms of pay restraint. And I think the important thing to remember is that the sector is, at the same time, it's not just, again, it's this point about not just about savings. The sector has maintained quality and its international reputation for teaching and research. So it's about the effectiveness and ensuring that the sector remains world class. So the Diamond Report was really about sort of giving further momentum to this, taking a snapshot of what's going on, looking at what the issues are, and really sort of saying, well, these are the kind of things that we as a sector need to be doing and looking at. And the Diamond Review identified a number of areas in which universities could work more efficiently. And again, the focus was very much on the back office, but it also looked at some of the sort of broader areas. I've already spoken about process improvement and simplification, and that was an area where universities felt there was a real sort of quick win in many ways. I mean, a lot of discussion has been about, in context of efficiency, has been about shared services, but I think institutions felt that actually in terms of internal processes there was quite a lot to do, particularly in terms of process improvement and getting the sort of simplification that's needed to move to a shared environment, so that when you come to moving to a shared environment, it's not, you don't duplicate some of the kind of inefficiencies or costs that you're trying to move away from. Again, shared services, and we mentioned a lot about the opportunities there, and particularly focused on the issue around VAT. And I know you've had a session on that this morning, and we're seeing good progress in that area. Outsourcing was one of the areas where we felt that there's been a lot of perhaps a bit of a bad taste left in the mouth of the sector in the past. But the outsourcing environment has changed a lot. The higher education sector has changed a lot, and there's a lot more of a mature understanding of what the sector wants and also what outsourcers can provide. And I think we in the report, we encourage the sector to really sort of rethink what it can do in that environment. Benchmarking was a really key area where we felt that more progress is needed. One of the key findings was that it wasn't so much about benchmarking practice, because there's a lot of that going on, but it was actually the specifics of benchmarking costs of operational activities. And it was a sort of prerequisite for really understanding what some of the costs and benefits of moving to shared services, or the benefits of undertaking process improvement, or indeed moving to outsourcing. And so there was a recommendation about really strengthening the data and the practice in that area that can allow the sector to develop the tools that it needs to understand those things. And then there was a series of recommendations around collaborative procurement and really sort of trying to give more of a strategic focus. And I know you've heard from Nigel Paul this morning talking about the kind of things they're doing in Scotland, which I think the panel, Ian's panel, were very impressed with and felt that we should be looking at that procurement and, or having that ambition for procurement across the UK. So that sort of came together in 17 recommendations for institutions and sector bodies, and also for government themselves. And what we've done is sort of distilled that down into an implementation plan. And I think there were sort of four broad programmes of work. One is around sort of providing the leadership and overseeing the implementation and monitoring it. And also, I think, adding to that, it wasn't in the original report, but something about communicating what's going on, and coming back to this point about the sector perhaps hiding what it's been doing quite well, particularly from, politicians in particular, who ask questions about the sector's efficiency on a quite regular basis. A series of recommendations around data benchmarking and costs, and really sort of strengthening practice in that area. One was around regulation, so that brought together all the things like sort of EU procurement, the cost of freedom of information, and also the VAT issues. And we've already seen some sort of movement in those areas. And then the fourth area was a series of recommendations around sort of taking a more strategic approach to procurement. So that sort of boiled the series of recommendations down into four broad areas. And I think there was an expectation that institutions would address those recommendations and embed the efficiency and modernisation. And it was about us sort of working co-regulation in a co-regulatory partnership with the sector and other bodies, the funding councils and research councils and various other actors to actually bring that change around, rather than be looking to sort of mandate something, because it's a very autonomous sector. And even if, government were minded to mandate in terms of trying to get the sector to sort of take on more efficiencies, I think that's quite a difficult thing to do in itself. So it was really about working with the sector to bring some of that change about. And in terms of what UK is doing, we're leading on four important areas. One is establishing a mechanism for overseeing progress and sort of telling the story. One's delivering efficiency through effective benchmarking, and we've received funding for that from the Innovation and Transformation Fund. One is developing the a new innovation efficiency hub, which we're calling Efficiency Exchange, and one is establishing Procurement UK, which would effectively be a strategic body for procurement for the sector on a UK-wide basis. So the mechanism for overseeing progress, we set up a high-level panel, which is effectively vice-chancellors, senior people from across the sector, and also a number of external experts that can really sort of challenge us and advise us on where things need to go. And they meet periodically. They met earlier this month and really reviewed progress and give recommendations and thoughts about how things will need to progress and the sort of things that will be need to be done to deliver the recommendations. And also there's a commitment through that group to report to BIS, because, again, BIS have a very strong interest in this, not least because of the residual public funding, but also the fact they're underwriting the student loan system. So I think they have a very keen interest that the sector is being able to demonstrate. And I think we met with ministers earlier this week, and I think the feeling certainly in BIS is that this is good stuff and the sector's doing a good job, but I think there is really a case about communicating that more effectively, particularly more widely across government, and coming back to my point about perception. So there's a real challenge there, I think, in terms of that kind of broad area of work about transforming that into a communication strategy that can really tell a good story about what the sector's doing. I mentioned Efficiency Exchange. Again, this is related to communication, but it will be a window on the world, but it'll also be a resource and a toolkit for the sector. And it's effectively providing a portal where all the sort of learning and resources around efficiency can be brought together for the sector, and also people can blog and provide leadership and talk about their own experiences and create communities of practice. And we have a project manager in place that's leading on that. And we hope to deliver something by summer in 2013, although at the moment there's a sort of interim platform which has got blogs and various contributions which are going up. So I would encourage you to look at that and contribute. Next one is around establishing Procurement UK. And again, I think this was really about developing a more strategic and coordinated approach to procurement across the UK. And I think that, if I'm honest, it's really about looking at England as well and looking at what some of the issues and challenges are there. And it's about giving procurement a bit more of a profile, particularly with senior leaders. And we're very pleased that Nick Petford, who's the Vice-Chancellor of Northampton University, has agreed to take on the chair of Procurement UK. And I think having a Vice-Chancellor in the chair, Nick's a member of the University's UK board, it really enables us to get some leverage and some real senior buy-in for taking things forward in that area. And at the moment, Procurement UK, it hasn't met. It's going to meet shortly. And I think the idea is over the next few weeks, few months, is for them to develop their strategy and develop the sort of areas they really want to look at and push forward. And I think that it's important to remember there are a number of projects which are being taken forward through the Innovation and Transformation Fund on procurement. We've got the procurement maturity assessments, and we've also got the new Procurement Academy. And both of those projects will report to Procurement UK. And the last one was around delivering efficiency through effective benchmarking. And we have a project which is underway, and we've got funding from the Innovation and Transformation Fund. And at the moment, we're in phase one, which is really a sort of scoping phase, which is going out to the sector and saying, well, as part of Diamond, you told us that this was something you wanted and you felt this was an important area to develop and mature, better data, more effective tools for benchmarking your operational costs. So going out to the sector and really trying to unpack that and identify what the needs are, what people will use, how they will use it, so we can go away as phase two and start to sort of pilot with some institutions, some approaches, and then in phase three, look at how we can deliver a new service for the sector. And we will build on and work with current mechanisms that are in place, such as the benchmarking in HE project, which has come out of the AMEC colleges, and look at how we can work with that and develop and evolve that system as part of this work. So those are sort of, I think we, in terms of the implementation, we're giving some real focus to these projects, looking at the recommendations, how we can embed them, take them forward in some real kind of key areas that have been identified, and also look at how we can sort of communicate and out coordinate activity. And I mean, again, not everything that's going on in relation to efficiency will link back to Diamond, but it's about having the sort of overview and being able to present that message and say to people that, this is what the sector's doing, this is how the sector's doing it, and and is being proactive in this area. But I think there's a number of challenges. One, which I've spoken a lot about, is communication and evidence. And I think actually one of the things we sort of dodged a little bit in Diamond was the quantitative evidence. But I think we've got to we've really got to work on that as part of this implementation and being able to tell a key story on that. And also I think there's something about sort of totemic messages and actually about what the sector's doing, things that really resonate in people's minds. Then there's how we lead change in an autonomous sector. We've got projects which are going out there and we're working with various partners, but and we've got people like Nick Petford who are engaged and providing leadership, but I think, and Ian Diamond as well, who puts a huge amount of energy into this. But how do we ensure that we keep that momentum going and get more effective coordinated action across a sector, which again isn't and it's not like the schools or it's not like the health service where you can have mandation and someone pulls the lever and it happens. It's not like that, as many of you will know. And then how we can assure that this, related to that point, this remains a priority for institutional leaders and HE professionals. I think our evidence shows that the changes are such that most institutions are thinking about these things. And the thing that they've said to us is we need the sort of, we need the sharing of good practice. We need the sort of information and the tools that can help us to, and the benchmarking, again, that can help us to work in this area. And then there's a wider set of challenges, I think. We looked at sort of operational efficiency in some sort of related areas, but I think, there are a number of sort of activities across the whole sector. There's estates and asset utilisation, some key challenges. Some of the issues that have come up as part of the Wakeham review are really putting pressure in that area. But, there's HR and there's also, academic practice and processes and how... are we most effective or efficient in terms of how we're delivering in those areas? So those were just my kind of overview of how we're doing.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.